I want to introduce Tammy Odoms. Tammy has attended the Brazosport College, where she majored in accounting. She's been the recipient of the Texas Court Clerks Association Distinguished Service Award in 2005, the Extraordinary Achievement Award in 2006, the Excellence Award in 2007, Court Clerk of the Year in 2007 by the TCCA. She is Level 2 certified. She's currently the deputy court clerk in the city of Sweeney since the year 2000, and we are very pleased and honored to have Ms. Odom in our presence.
Thank you, Levada. Good morning. Morning, it's morning, right? Well, y'all would not believe how much I had to pay for all those awards, but it's great to be in El Paso. When we were coming in on the shuttle, I said, "Oh my gosh, y'all have mountains." He said, "Nah, they belong to Mexico." Who would have ever guessed? He said, "Mexico is 5 blocks that way." I said, "Well, don't drop me off in the wrong place." Because I'm going to tell you right now, unless somebody hands me a menu, I'm screwed. It is a beautiful city. I noticed when I came in the airport that everything's very clean. About a month ago, I had the privilege of meeting the mayor of El Paso, John Poe. And his lovely wife, and they were very, very nice people, and it was a pleasure to get to come so soon and see his beautiful city. Like I said, if I have problems there in the back, let me know, because I may have drifted apart. Okay. It's okay. Okay. Let's everybody try it. Okay, is there anybody that didn't laugh? Point at your neighbor. Okay. Come on now. Get her. Point at her. Okay. All right. No one's safe here. I came in last night, like I said, kind of late, and went to get on the airport, and this man said, "Sorry, you can't use this elevator." And I said, must be the Secret Service. I'm being facetious. He was really the Secret Service. So, since they let me out this morning, I came on in, got dressed and everything, and I'm here with you this morning. This is not going to be your typical ethics session. Have you figured that out yet? Okay. We are not going to talk about the canons. Might not even mention them more than 10 times. We're going to talk about clerk's ethics, and we're going to talk about things that we deal with every single day. Okay? Excited? Okay. I have a PowerPoint somewhere, and Leveda's going to help me. Where'd she go? Okay, I had to pick on some other poor unsuspecting soul. Let's see if I can get this thing on. Oh! I turned it over. Okay. Really, it's okay. Where have you been? I had a cross as I was pushing these buttons on this side. Okay. First of all, we're going to define personal ethics. Personal ethics is a branch of philosophy that addresses the question of morality through a set of behavioral guidelines. You with me so far? Professional ethics is conforming to right principles of conduct as accepted by a specific profession. Let's break that down a little bit. Excuse me. Personal versus professional. Personal ethics differ by individual. They're based on religion, sin, and virtue. You learn these from your parents, teachers, clergy, role models. It's usually an unwritten code of ethics, although you may see ethical principles in writings such as the Bible or the Quran or some other religious writings. And it is your personal choice. You have a constitutional right to practice any religion you choose or no religion if you so choose to do that. Professional ethics. They are the same throughout the organization. They're based on law, crime, and punishment. You learn them from your management, team leaders, coworkers. There should be a written code of conduct, and it requires a professional commitment. Now, I would be willing to bet that there are no two people in this room that share the exact same personal ethics. You may have been raised in the same religion. You may have been even raised in the same household. You may be siblings. You may be parents' children. But no two people share the exact same set of personal ethics. Would you agree? Okay. Professional ethics is a whole different ballgame. We got to all be on the same page with this one. A couple of things that I want you to remember about ethics, and we're going to talk some more about each one of these, is that everyone is watching you. Time management, health safety, individual loyalty, commitment, and social networking. And you're sitting there going, oh, I thought this was going to be good. She seemed funny at first. But I'm going to point out some things to you that you may never have thought about before. First of all, everyone is watching you, not just in your workplace. I would venture to say that some of you see hundreds of people a day. Some of you 10 or 20. You deal with them for that short interaction, and they're gone. But you were the only court clerk they dealt with that day. You may be the only court clerk they ever dealt with. They're going to remember you. They're going to remember your face. You're not going to remember them. Okay? They are watching you. They're watching you everywhere you go.
Everyone is watching you.
Now, does anyone have paranoid schizophrenia tendencies in here? Please raise your hand real big. Hi. Straight arm it. Come on, don't be afraid. If you don't, you will. And that helps in our job. At Walmart. They're watching you at Walmart. I promise. They're looking to see what you get in your basket. They're doing the roll-by is what I like to call it. It's true. They're looking. Are you buying booze? Condoms? You know, what are you throwing off in there? Baby diapers? Now they know you got a kid. They are watching you. They are. People are watching you. They recognize you even if you don't recognize them. Don't get in your little tunnel vision where you think that nobody knows me and they're not really paying attention to me. Okay? Good story. My husband's a police officer in a neighboring town. And we're in HEB, actually. Everybody know what HEB is? Okay. No? H&EB. It's a grocery store. Okay. So, I'm doing my thing. He's talking three aisles over because that's his thing. So, I'm going through the store and this guy walks by me in obviously, and I'm not profiling, obvious gangster attire. He's got the leg pulled up. He's got the flag line. He's got the whole thing going on. Hey, Miss Odom. And if you know me, that's exactly what I did. Hey, what's up? I don't know what I did, but I probably insulted his mother, but oh well. So I said, hey, how's it going? Good. Where's Mr. Odom? I pointed him in the right direction. Y'all doing all right? Yeah, we're good. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. I've been out of. Really? That's good. You're doing good then. Yeah, I'm doing real good. So he goes on about his way, and I'm going, whew, hope there's not a drive-by in the parking lot later. I hope I answered all those questions right. So eventually my husband catches up with me at the checkout, because he's going to go to the store and help. So I get up there, and he said, hey, did you see Bob? We'll call him Bob. Did you see Bob? I said, is that who that was? He said, yeah, I locked him up about 4 years ago. Remember, he's the one that I went over to break up the fight, and he jumped on me and started wailing on me, you know? Yes, I do. Where is Bob? Let me find Bob. I have a little hug for Bob. And I say, looks like he's doing good. He said, yeah, if he could get away from the folks he's hanging with, I think he'd do real good. He recognized me. He has not seen me in at least 4 years. He has not seen my husband in that amount of time, but he remembered us both. he had grown. He had aged. I didn't recognize him. Anyway, people know you. They are going to pay attention to what you're doing. At your place of worship, they're looking to see what you're doing at your place of worship, or if you don't have one. Now, I know this is a sensitive subject, so that's why I'm talking about it. It is. It's sensitive to a lot of people. Have you ever noticed, though, that when somebody's running for office, you get those little track flyer things in the mail? You know, the little hard cards or little fans or whatever. They always put a religious affiliation on those. Have you noticed that? If you haven't, look next time you get them. They say, I've been a deacon at the so-and-so church for 30 years. They ain't turned a doorknob on the place. You know what I'm saying? So don't be misled by that. But people want to know that the people who are leading them and the people who are in their government have some kind of moral base. And a lot of us associate morality with religion. At the watering hole. Now, let's talk about the bar. Last night, 11 o'clock, 11:30. That was who? I went in to admire the stained glass thing that I've heard so much about. And there was the group in there of hooping, hollering people dancing on the table. And I said, I'm in the right hotel, court clerks. No, actually it was very quiet, but I have come into that. I have walked into a hotel where there was mayhem going on in the bar, and it was court clerks. People are looking at you. I'm not the grown people police. If you want to go to the bar and drink, I got no problem with that. I drink too. Make sure that you're not overindulging and that you don't stagger out of the bar and stumble into your car. People are watching you. Waffle House. Another true story. I know y'all love them. Okay. I'm at the Waffle House. IHOP, to be exact. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, my little baby grandson had just been born after 24 hours of labor. I'm going to tell you, people, I was not pretty. My hair was all up like this. I hadn't brushed my teeth in 24 hours. My clothes had been laid in, slept in, wallered in. My husband looked about as bad as I did, and we were both starving. And I said, before we go home, I've got to get something to eat. So we slither into the IHOP at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, who goes to the IHOP at 2 o'clock in the morning? The same people that were in the bar at 11:30 last night. Because they're starving, and they got to get something to eat before they go home, just like me. So, we walk in, and of course, a whole group of people's in there. You know, you're just kind of like, just order me the Rudy Tootie. I'm going to the bathroom, you know. So, I go to the bathroom to make some semblance of my attire, and I walk back out. My husband's just snickering. He said, those people over there are talking about you. What? What? At this point, I'm ready to go spider monkey on somebody. I am feeling no love for the human race at this point. So, I said, well, what did they say? He said, well, that one says, hey, that's that chick from court. Remember the other day when you had to go pay that ticket? That's her. That's her. Now, I'm in a town 45 miles away from my own, and they still recognized me when I walked in. And they're like, man, I thought she was like, you know, I didn't think they could, like, you know, go out and get all tore down and everything. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been tore down, and that wasn't it. But it was their perception of the way I was dressed, where I was at, and the time of night that I was there, or time of morning that I was there. So people are watching you. And if they didn't know I was the court clerk, what happens when they see me like that, and then they do come to court for their PI or whatever later on? The war zone. Anybody know what the war zone is? Court. Honey, where are you from? You've never been to the HEB and you think court's war? Court is nothing compared to Little League ball field. All y'all got one of those in your towns? It is the pit of all iniquity in a small community. We don't have no picture show. We don't have nothing, no putt-putt, no nothing to do. So everybody goes to the ballpark to fight. I mean, play ball. Before this profession, I had another profession, and I worked for the local sheriff's department. And I have a lot of children, six. And I have six children because I don't want seven. So somebody's always got something going on, you know, dancing lessons, ball game, whatever. So I get off work, and I'm literally standing at my trunk, throwing stuff in the trunk, trying to run up to the ball field. You know, they kind of frown on guns and things at the ball field, which they shouldn't. They really need them. And so, you know, I'm really going fast trying to get up there, and this lady says, "Oh, are you here about the fight?" "Yeah." "Well, they're over there." So I hurried over to where they were. Because if you go slow, only the loser has to go to jail. So I made my way quickly to the scene of the altercation, and that's what I put in my report. And there is this woman, a grown woman, on a grown man's back. I need both hands. She has him around the neck, and she is bringing it from downtown, people. This wasn't one of those, you know how girls fight? That's how girls fight. This was one of those, I have brothers and I learned how to fight young fights. She's wailing on this guy. And I walked up and said, "Stop, stop, don't do that. Get off, get off." Anyway, she did. She took several other grown men to pull her off, but yes. She was mad because this was the coach who had pulled her kid out of the game. Now, his team was winning like 20-0, okay? He was a star athlete. He went on to play college ball and may have even gone professional. I lost track of him. Good athlete. Terrible attitude. Good athlete. So, wonder where he got it, right? She's wailing on him because he pulled her baby. The kid, I have to give him credit, was like, "Mama, I always get to play. Some of those other kids never get to play." So the coach, in his infinite wisdom, and I do still respect him to this day, pulled all the star players, moved the outfield to the infield, and let the subs play the whole rest of the game. Kids got to play in positions they never got to play in before, and they got to experience the joy of actually contributing to that victory that day. And yes, the other team did score some points, but you know what? They still won. So, it's very important to remember, first of all, to be a fan, but don't be fanatical. And to teach your kids good sportsmanship. People are watching you, especially in that small confines of a place like that. People know you. They know your kid. If they don't know the other team, they at least know that you're on their team. They know what you do. Trust me, they know what you do. Or if nothing else, they think they know you work for the government. Right? Because they're always thrilled with the government. Statistics, while we're talking about that, statistics show that the general population believes that government employees are lazy, spoiled, and overpaid. If you are lazy, spoiled, and overpaid, please raise your hand. We have one in the back row, and where do you work? Because I want to go to work for it there. Okay. You say government employee, and people think IRS, right? What do you think of the IRS? This is being audio taped, and for the record, Jameson, that was not Tammy. Okay. But that is the general perception of most people. Not Tammy. We have feds in the building. Feds in the building. Okay. So remember, everyone's watching you no matter where you go. Time management. To whom does your time belong? Well, how many of you work for a city? How many cities are funded with taxpayers' money? All of them. So who pays your salary? Taxpayers. So who do you work for? Okay. How many of you believe that you are a public servant? If you don't, you should. Every one of us in this room works for the people who live in our community and do business with our court. They fund our budgets. And sometimes that's us. I fund somebody else's budget. But eventually it comes around because I don't live in the city I work in. But just remember, don't you hate when they come in, you work for me. And I want to say, then you're the one I need to talk to about a raise. But in essence, we really do work for those folks. We do work for the citizens. So whether you make $8 an hour or $80 an hour, you do work for the citizens. Remember, every servant has a master. And you who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters, do whatever is right, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are harsh. And I'm going to tell you, I read that a long time ago. Most of you know where that came from. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you can adopt that as your mantra when you're at work, your job's going to get to be a whole lot easier. You're being paid to do a job and provide a service. Whether your customer is unreasonable or harsh, or whether they're the nicest person on the earth. So what does your time really cost? How many of you are hourly employees? You get paid by the hour, as weak as it may be. Okay, so the majority of us. I have a 4x5 rule for you hourly folks, and some of you salaries folks too. How many of you know this person? They arrive 5 minutes late. They leave 5 minutes early for lunch. They come back 5 minutes late from lunch. And they leave 5 minutes early for the day. Somebody, y'all know somebody like that. If you don't, it's you. Okay, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But everybody has, if you don't currently work with, you have at some point in time worked with the person who is sliding in the door at 8 o'clock. Come here, here on time. Okay? No. You're not on time. Your time starts at 8 o'clock. You're going to be in your desk, ready to work, not headed to the locker to put up your Gucci bag, swing by the coffee pot and get you a little something to drink. Oh, hey, girl, last night we had so much fun. It's too bad you couldn't come. And meander over to your desk, and then you got to set up all your little doll things. Never understood this. I'm not a chicky kind of girl. I go with the bare basics. But I'm going to tell y'all, I am amazed at all the things that some of my coworkers have to do as part of their morning ritual. They set their little coffee cup up, and they rearrange the phone that hasn't been touched since they walked out the door, mind you. And they get their pen out, and then they log in, and then they have to put their gloss on. And they get a little something done, and, oh, mascara! And don't you love looking at someone with one eye and mascara? Looks like they lost a wing or something, you know? Do all your grooming, get your coffee, whatever you need to get yourself till the break. That's all you got to make it till the break. And be ready to go to work at the appointed hour. Leaving 5 minutes for lunch, early for lunch. That same person, and we all know who they are, is getting all their stuff ready to go to lunch. About 5 minutes till. And they're headed to the door, and when the clock says 12, it's like, Don't get in their way, people. You will get hurt. Because they got things to do at lunch. Eating is not one of them, usually. So they bring that back with them. Right? They bring that sack lunch back. Like, I thought you just went to lunch. Oh, yeah, but I had to go over here, and I had to go get my nails done, and I had to go pay a bill. I had to do... Really? Well, don't think you're going to eat that while you're here. Save it till your break. But these are the same people. So now this person's taken a little extra time to eat and get all that cleaned up. But this is the same person at 10 minutes to 5 who is logging out of their computer, and the customer comes to the window, oh, I've already logged out. We'll log back in. Because you know what? Your day doesn't end until 5 o'clock. Okay? That's 20 minutes a day, which doesn't really seem like much if you're a $10 an hour employee. It's $3.33. But over a period of time, if they did that every working day, that's 87 hours a year or 11 working days. $870. That's what you just cost your city. How much time do you spend on the phone? I mentioned the children, right? Mama, you won't believe what the dog's doing. Well, unless he's doing it in my bed, I don't care. Right? But they want you to be informed, so they call you for things like that. Make sure that if you receive personal calls at work, you limit those to the things that need to be said and you get off the phone. Okay? There's nothing more annoying to your neighbor who's smiling going, I'm going to kill her. Graveyard dead, I'm going to kill her. Because they're waiting on all the customers while you're talking about what the dog's doing. Okay? They may not say it, but they don't appreciate it. I'm going to say it for them. So if you spent 20 minutes a day on the phone, and I'm talking 4 kids times 5 minutes, which is a typical phone call, 5 minutes, I've spent another 20 minutes a day. So now, I've spent 174 hours a year, 22 working days or more, a month, and I've cost my city $1,740. Actually, what I've done is I've stolen from them. I've stolen $1,740 from my city. Prioritizing tasks and projects. When you don't finish your task on time, you are causing a train wreck for somebody else, either on this end or this end. It is very important that you prioritize what needs to be done and what has to be done. There's a difference. This has to be done today. This needs to be done, but it could wait until tomorrow. Because if you're the person who does data entry and you're not getting your citations entered in time, it's causing problems for the frontline people. And if the frontline people aren't taking care of their business on time, it's causing problems for somebody down in compliance. Right? Have you ever been sitting, waiting, because you know I have all this stuff to do and I can't do any of it until this person over here does theirs? So then you do the drive-by. Just go into the coffee pot since I have so much time on my hands. And then you get the, if you ever get the, you need to get the off the phone and get busy. Okay? Everything you do has an impact on someone else. Health and safety. Office aesthetics. This is one of those things y'all are going, huh? Really? Well, really. Think about your space. Did you get a nice, pretty new courthouse and everything's all sparkly? And everything's where you need it, and you got a nice filing system and ergonomic chairs. And how many of you have that? Okay, the rest of us hate you. I'm saying it because nobody else wants to. It's my job. I don't make news, but I do report it. Okay. How many of you inherited someone else's space? You know, it used to be something, before it was yours. It used to be the bread factory before it was the bank, and then it went from the bank to the city hall, and then from city hall to you. And there's still bread makers in the back. Most of us have that. I think that's typical of just the way we do business. My building used to be a bank. For a bank, it's not very secure, but it does have some redeeming qualities. It actually has a safe and a storm bunker, which I'm from the Gulf Coast, in case y'all didn't know that, where we teach our kids at like age one, hunker down. So, make sure that your space is aesthetically pleasing. If I walked into your space and there's trash on the floor, the garbage can's flowing over, files are hanging out of the filing cabinet, people have all their trolls and mess all over the place, whatever you people collect. Yes, five half-full cups on your desk. Okay, if you're going to get more coffee, why are you not taking that cup with you? Your cup! And they still don't get it, right? So make sure that your space is aesthetically pleasing. Some things we're just stuck with, right? But we're not stuck with a trash can full of trash. And if I hear one person say, "It's not my job to take out the trash," I will scream and go spider monkey. Because you know what? You're getting paid to show up. You're getting paid to work while you're here. If the trash needs to go out, take the trash out. Okay? Don't limit yourself so much that you're making your job harder than it has to be. But if I walk into that space and it's cluttered and it's unclean and it's disorganized, am I going to feel confident that I'm going to be treated in a professional manner? No. Am I going to have confidence in your knowledge and ability to take care of me? Probably not. Here's another thing I noticed. I had to go with child number four to court. Because he has a lead foot. So we go into the courtroom of a neighboring court, and the clerks are arguing. They're ding, 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 ding. Now, granted to say, I may not be the easiest person to get along with. I am severely lacking in customer service skills. Something I have to work very hard at, because I'm like, pay your ticket and get the hell out. Okay? That's my customer service. But I have to work very hard at that. And there's going to be things that you have to work hard at, too. One of them may be holding your tongue until the customer at the window leaves. Another thing I noticed in that same courtroom, and I'm not picking on them, it's just the only courtroom I've been to in a while. The clerk at the window was waiting on me. And she says, "Can I help you?" She's very nice. She wasn't a bickerer. It was the people behind her. So she has to go all the way to this filing cabinet on the very back wall, 30 feet away, to pull my file, or pull his file. She brings it to the counter, and he said, "Yes, ma'am, I would like to do defensive driving." She said, "Okay." And she goes back to another filing cabinet to get the forms that she needs for defensive driving. She comes back. She said, "I need to see your driver's license and proof of insurance," which I had already told him, so he had it in his hand. So now she goes into two rooms down to use a copy machine. Okay? How much time has she spent with me? That was unnecessary time. It was travel time, that's what I called it. Her traveling to the filing cabinet, traveling to the forms box, traveling to the copy machine. Look at your aesthetics as an outsider would look at them. Go to your front window. Look around. Is that pleasing to you? You know, are things neat? Do they appear to be neat from that counter? Are your filing cabinets way in the back or in another room? Just kind of look at it from an outsider looking in. Best people to try that on is new employees. Have them do a walkthrough as if they were a customer. It's a great way for them to see how you handle your customers, and it is a great way for you to see where you may be dropping the ball. Personal appearance. Okay, I'm going to get on my soapbox about people's personal appearance. Now, I've been standing in front of you for, some of you are thinking, way too long. And I've been looking around, and I see that everyone in here, to me, appears to be appropriately and professionally dressed for where you're at. Okay? Now, ladies, when you go to the dressing room, and men, if you're into that thing, you go to the dressing room and you try on a new skirt. You look at it. Unless you're a big girl like me, and you're going, does it fit? Are all my parts covered up? Tell me. Okay? Big girls don't do dressing rooms, by the way. We buy clothes, we take them home, we try them on, and we take back what doesn't fit. So, remember that you're not going to be standing all day long. At some point in the day, you're going to want to sit. Does that cute little skirt still look cute when you're sitting? Okay? Does it still cover everything? And when I say everything, I mean, you know, maybe the knees can be sticking out, but an appropriate length when you're sitting. Most dressing rooms have a chair or something, a bench or something. Sit down. Make sure nobody's getting a peep show. All right. The second thing, cleavage. Men and women, I don't want to see it. Okay? I hate to even say this. I don't want to see yours either, you know? Okay. We all know it's there, but be courteous, cover it up. You know, you don't have to wear turtlenecks every day. But be thoughtful in your dress. When you dress in the morning, if something's a little too tight, put it back in the closet, get something else. Okay? True story. You know you love them. I love to fly Southwest. I have the whole spiel down. While they're doing their thing, I'm like, and if you do that, if the cabin loses pressure, a device will fall out of the blah, 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 and put it on your kid, whatever. Taking care of mama first. So, I got more kids where that one came from. So, the flight attendants on Southwest, I have always found to be very professional and very courteous. Always. Except for, and this gentleman was very courteous. He was very professional. He brought me my Coke, which makes me happy. See, I carry one with me all the time. And so he brings me my Coke, and when he's giving the drink to the person on the inside, his shirt's unbuttoned to about right here, and I can see his chest. Being the shy person that I am, I said, "Oh, look, your shirt came unbuttoned." But it had been that way the entire time. He obviously didn't take the hint. He didn't button it, and no one else noticed or said anything to him as far as his other coworkers. So this is a problem with men and women both. But make sure that you're appropriately dressed for the workplace. If I had showed up here today in my pajamas, would any of you take me seriously? No. Although, just a few hours ago, I was in my pajamas. But if I had showed up here unprofessionally dressed, you wouldn't have listened to a word I had to say. No matter how funny I was, how interesting the subject, you would have not given me any credibility whatsoever. It's the same thing about the way you're dressed. Environmental protection. How many of you recycle in the workplace? Be proud. Okay. How many of you sort of recycle in the workplace? I think that's probably true of a lot of us. Okay? I think it's very important for others to see that we are environmentally conscious, that we use our water conservatively, that we don't have the air conditioner cranked down to 60 degrees. Because you know what they're thinking? Oh, my gosh, I'm paying the bill here. That's what they're thinking when they walk in and it's freezing cold or when it's toasty warm. And I'm not saying that you should not be comfortable because you're in that workspace all day long. But think about that. Think about the way that others would perceive that work environment. There's nothing wrong with having nice computers and equipment and things like that. But make sure that you're doing your part. So, when citizens come up and they see my blue recycle bags out on the corner, they go, They like it. They like to know that you're taking care of their resources. Now, that's a little bit of paper, shredded paper, in bags, but it gives the perception to the public, which is what I want them, that I'm taking care of all their business that way, that I'm being conservative with their money, and I'm doing the right thing by them. Personal safety. How many of you feel like, I want you to answer honestly, you are personally responsible for everyone who's in your court? Defendants, attorneys, people who come in to do business with your court, your fellow co-workers. How many of you feel like you are responsible for their personal safety? I would challenge you to say that you are. Now, am I saying that you should be carrying the Glock? I wonder why. You're scary. Write your name down on a paper right there. Just right there. Because there's Secret Service people here that might need to know. I'm not saying you need to carry a knife, a gun, a taser. I'm not saying you need to carry any kind of weapons. The best weapon that you can use is right here. Use common sense. Be aware of your surroundings. Know what's going on around you. How many of you have the pleasure of having a bailiff or a warrant officer or some other police officer with you all the time? Hold them up high because I want people to see. You are the minority. The rest of us have to get spider monkey every now and then. But if you handle people professionally and with decorum, you very seldom have any problems. How many of you have ever had a security breach in your court? Shooting, knifing, stabbing, cursing. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I've been called words that I don't even think exist. Really. I think they just made them up on the fly. All right. Just be aware of who you're dealing with and the environment you're dealing with them. Okay. Know your escape routes. Know your fire plan. Know where your fire extinguishers are. But you are responsible for making sure that everyone in that court is safe. Individual loyalty. Now, this is where we're going to get deep. Are you faithful to your work? Do you badmouth your judge, co-workers, city council? Anybody never done that? You don't have to raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. Please, please, please don't raise your hand. Well, guess what? It is gossip even if it is true. Even if it is true, it is gossip. And I once heard a motivational speaker speaking on the topic of relationships in the workplace. And you had the cute little guy here earlier who did this. Yeah, which guess which one I am. Okay. So, all you pear peach people better run for the hills because here I am. We spend more time with those folks at work than we do with our own families. We spend more time serving the public than we do serving dinner. Okay? So it's very important that we nurture those relationships in the workplace. And are you going to like everybody you work with? Sometimes I don't even like me. I can be kind of hard sometimes. So you're not always going to love them or like them. But you don't have to make that situation worse. And what this gentleman said is when you talk bad about someone, you are murdering their character. You are murdering their character. you are killing that person's character with your words. So you think about that the next time that something like that wants to come out, because we all have those moments, you know, when you're listening to the council in chambers. You're thinking, oh, do they live in the same city I live in? But we all have a different perspective, and remember that. When someone in your organization betrays someone's trust, it breaks down all lines of communication. And can you imagine a workplace where we never talked with one another? And I'm not talking socializing. I'm talking the amount of verbalization it takes to get work done during the day. And how would it be if you were snitting at each other all day? And I believe that you've probably heard this before, but an act of disloyalty will end things up in an unpleasant way, in the present and in the future. That's why we have family court. Family court dockets in most counties are months out. Months out. But you can call a JP any day and get a weekend of marriage done. Think about that. Friend and life partner. I put this on here because I think it's important that you understand that if we can treat our coworkers like we would our best friend or our life partner, with that same amount of, maybe not love, but respect and kindness and understanding, then we will be way ahead of the game. Way ahead of the game. It'll make our jobs much easier. In kind. Now, in kind is here. I love that thing. Because I think it's a very important part of your loyalty to your organization and your loyalty to your city. We talked about how not being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing costs your city money. And that's just like stealing from them. Are you the kind that is too kind? Are you taking 2 stamps a week to mail your bills? That's 44 cents a stamp. It's $45.76 a year. You're barely a Class C misdemeanor. Okay? I read an article that was done by someone that worked at Office Depot. And they were talking about how their commercial business in the months of August, September, and October are their record high months. Their commercial business. Do you know why? School supplies. Don't be the person that takes your kids' school supply list to the supply room and says, oh, I need highlighters and pencils and dividers and folders, because there's people who do that, and Office Depot's glad to have you on board, because your city has to replenish all those supplies. Scotch tape in December. Hey, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Commitment. Commitment is the biggest motivator to individual loyalty. It's also the biggest motivator for ethical behavior. There's no evading commitment. None. We ought to be very familiar with that term in our jobs. Commitment. Does that mean if you want to go to jail, go to jail? If you don't, don't? Is that what the judge says? He fills out a commitment. He says, hey, if you're digging it, go on over to the jail. No, that means you're committed. It means you have no other options. And I want you to think about that in your commitment to your job workplace, that you have no other options but to be committed 100% in the moment. You have to be right there in it. Commitment is untrainable. I cannot teach you how to be committed to your job. I cannot teach you how to be committed to the people that you work for and with. That has to come from within. But what I can do as your supervisor, your coworker, or your friend, and if we've done all that other stuff right, we have a relationship where I can come to you and talk to you about your commitment level or you can come to me and talk about your commitment level. But if you see behaviors that are outside of a full commitment, sometimes it just takes a reminder to that person that, hey, I noticed that lately you just kind of haven't been, you know, you just haven't been 100%. Is something going on? Maybe there is. Maybe there's a sickness or a death or a divorce or something that they haven't brought to the table. Because you know what? Don't make your business my business. Don't be mad when somebody talks bad about you because you put your stuff on the street. And that's what people tend to do. They put all their business on Facebook or out on the street and get mad when people talk about them. We love to talk about other people. What are they doing? Where are they going on vacation? Did they have fun? And I'm not talking about that in a negative way, but that's a big part of our conversations. We talk about, Levita, what you been up to? You know, what's going on in your court? How are your people doing? You know, how's your family? We talk about people. It's what we do. Just make sure it's in a positive note. And like I said, commitment comes from within. Commitment issues. Can you imagine the biggest commitment of your life, which I feel like is your marriage? I've been committed twice now. The first time I was committed, but he wasn't. So I should have been committed. And what if I had gone to the altar saying, well, I love you with all my heart, but only on Mondays and Wednesdays. And I'm going to need to leave at 5. And if the kids get sick, that's not looking good for you either. And what if I had gone into that most serious commitment with those kind of reservations, either out on the table or in the closet still? How successful would that marriage be? Probably not, because he's a dimwit for marrying me to begin with. Because I've already said, I can't be committed 100% to this. Okay? It's the same way with, why would somebody want to hire you and employ you if you're not 100% committed? What if by every word and every action you show me that you are not committed? That you don't have the better good in mind? If you are having commitment issues, go to somebody that you trust, talk to them, and let them give you some ideas. Or, better yet, look at the person in your organization that you feel is the most committed and mimic their behaviors. And eventually, they'll become your behaviors too. Social networking and technology. Okay, how many of you were in here when Levita had to make my PowerPoint thing come up? Okay, not my strong suit. iPhones. They're fabulous tools. They're awesome, right? I can get on the internet. I can text message, not real fast, so don't get carried away. But they're great tools. But if I walk off and leave my iPhone down, sitting here, and I lose it, and all of a sudden all these text messages are coming up, somebody picks it up, and they're about defendants in your court. Maybe it's your staff checking on something or your judge asking a question. What about your BlackBerry? Laptops. What if I'm in Starbucks and I have this cool thing now called logmein.com? Are you familiar with that? I can go to any computer anywhere and I can log onto my desktop. And I can pull up everything that's on my computer right then and there. I can work from it. It's awesome. Awesome technology. But what if I leave my laptop right there while I go get a refill or another sugar? And I've left somebody's case file open. Okay? Technology is wonderful, but it is a scary creature when it's misused or abused. Make sure that if you're handling your court business, on one of those technical devices, that you're making sure that you keep that secure. Because our records are public record, but they don't need to be public knowledge. Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. How many of you Facebook? Keep your hand up. MySpace, Twitter. Really? Okay. Even I can use Facebook. It's really simple. It was made for dumb people like me. So, I love catching up with old classmates or people I haven't seen in a long time, people I used to work with. It's great. Okay? But there's some things you need to remember. Be very careful who you friend. I said I had a career before this career. I know a lot of attorneys, and I know a lot of police officers. If I friend them and we're talking about an incident maybe that happened in my city, and through a third party, the defendant that's going to come into court about that incident sees my Facebook post, how would that look? What if I'm friends with the defense attorney who's going to come in and defend someone in my court? What if I'm friends with the prosecutor on Facebook and the defense attorney finds out? Be very careful who you friend. Be careful what you post. One click of the mouse can lead to a lifetime of humiliation. And are you posting during work hours? Are you looking to see who's updated their status? The average Facebook user spends how many minutes a day on Facebook? Anybody want to guess? The adult Facebook user. Every day. Close, 40 minutes. Of them, 95% of them spend their time on Facebook between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Now, where are you between 8 and 5? At work. Or at your place of employment anyway. You may not be working because you're Facebooking. If you spent 40 minutes a day on Facebook, 20 minutes being on the 4x5 rule, and 20 minutes on the phone, you spent 80 minutes a day. 80 minutes a day that you were not working. That is 44 work days a year. Somebody help that poor woman out the door. That is 44 days a year. That is 2 months. 2 months of working days. Now, please raise your hand if you would not like to have an extra 2 months in vacation. No one, right? You have stolen $3,480 from your city. You took it and you can't give it back. That's the one thing we can't give back is time. Are you watching my time? Okay. Good ethics equals positive outcome. Public accountability. More and more we see the public wanting more accountability from the government. And they do view you as the government. They want more knowledge, they want it faster, and they want it more accurate. Okay? 200 years ago, the government met once a year. I mean, court may convene twice a year. If someone was arrested for something, they may have to sit in jail for a year before the local magistrate came around to see them. If they were still there, depending on what they did, and somebody hadn't already taken justice in their own hands. We live in an age of instant information. How many of you remember Encarta? Okay, well, it's just me then. When I was in high school, not that long ago, computer science class, they offered one, okay? And I took it. I was in there a whole year. I could make a clown face using backslashes and asterisks That was my final project, okay? I aced it, by the way. But if you don't know what C:\ stands for or how to use that, then you're not going to understand this reference. But there used to be a dictionary that you could purchase, not online. You could purchase the software, put it on your computer, and you could go look up words. That's it. Just words. But I thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. No more did you have to run to the library to look up words. It was like a dictionary and an encyclopedia all together. It was awesome. They updated it about every 10 years, so the information was real current. You're writing a paper about somebody who's died 5 years ago and you don't know it. Because in the book, they're still alive. And on Encarta, they're still alive. But look how far our technology has come. We've come to an era of instant information. A celebrity cuts their hair, we know it. They have a baby, we know it. They name it something stupid, we know it. Okay? It's instant information. And that's what our public expects from us. They expect an immediate response to their requests for information. They want total public accountability. They will also want a transparent government. And this is kind of a new catchphrase that's out there right now. We haven't heard that a lot in the past. But they want to know what's going on with the government. No, they may not show up to every city council meeting. But they read that paper. They want to see what happened at that city council meeting. They want to see what the hot topics are and the issues are. That's why our websites get 10,000 hits a month. Even our little cities. We get thousands of hits. Everybody in my city must be looking at that website at least twice a month. Okay? They want to know. Public accountability and a transparent government relates to good customer relations. And it does so in the fact that they don't feel like you're hiding or covering up or trying to keep something from them. That's when we get mad, right? I love my children, but I know when they got a secret. And it makes me mad when I don't know what's going on. And sometimes that's more a level of frustration than anger, but that frustration can quickly turn to anger when they feel like they're being gone around. Respect of others. Just like we talked about respecting each other in the workplace, we need to respect the people that come to our window. Not everyone who comes into court is a axe murderer. Unless you're in a different court. But treat those people with respect, and they will treat you with respect in return. And sometimes we're the one that pushes that button, right? We're the one that kind of sets them off. Listen to what they say, just like you would want them to listen respectfully to you. The human element. When good people make bad choices, it happens. Good people make bad choices. And there's some reasons why they make bad choices. A lack of knowledge being the number one. They didn't know what they did was wrong. Okay? They didn't know that what they did was wrong. You being here today shows me that you want to do the right thing. That you want to have the knowledge to do the right thing. Misunderstanding of ethical standards. We just discussed the fact that all of our personal ethics vary from one person to the next. Don't assume that your ethical standards, professional ethical standards, are the same as the person sitting next to you. I would hope they would be, but they may not be. Don't leave it up to somebody else to educate you. Don't leave it up to the person who's been there for 6 months and is still on probation to tell you what the ethical expectations are in the court, because that might be their last day. They may not make it. Read your code of conduct. Read your policy manuals. You find out for yourself what is acceptable and what is not in your court. Not understanding or remembering to whom you are accountable. That's very fundamental. As long as you can remember to who you are accountable, the rest of this will come very easy. Getting mixed messages. If you work in an office with more than one person, you're going to get mixed messages at some point in time. One person's going to say, I've been here 20 years and this is the way we've always done it. Somebody else is going to go, yeah, they've always done it that way, but, you know, this way's better. The way we're doing it's better, it's faster, it's easier. So you're going to get mixed messages. And the only thing you can do is go back to that written policies and procedure. But let's talk about conflicting policies. I went through a policy manual not too long ago just to kind of catch myself up. And I realized we had several conflicting policies. They were minor conflicts, but they were still there. Because this policy had been amended, but no one looked back at this one to see if it needed to be fixed. Does this sound like anybody you know? They meet every 2 years. Okay. Yes, and you probably made this policy better, but in doing so, you created a conflict for yourself. Remember, if you do have a written policy or procedures manual, that's kind of fluid in the fact that it needs to be reviewed, it needs to be updated, and sometimes the practice is better than the policy. So it's not always the practice that needs to be changed, but a policy that needs to be updated. One thing I can tell you, bad choices, whether they're made by bad people or good people, make headlines. Examples of bad choices. Anybody ever heard of Enron? Nobody? Martha Stewart. Here's what Martha and I don't have in common. Martha has this little, they have this little article in one of our local little things, Chamber of Commerce or something. And it has your Martha tip of the week. Martha says, put a marshmallow in the bottom of your ice cream cone to keep the ice cream from dripping out the bottom. I'm going to tell y'all right now, fat girl don't need a marshmallow. I'm going to eat that ice cream so fast it's not going to have time to melt. So see, even Martha's philosophies are a little flawed considering the audience. Wesley Snipes. Anybody know what Wesley Snipes got in trouble for? Tax evasion. Did he not pay his taxes? No, his accountant didn't pay his taxes. But who went to prison? Wesley Snipes. So sometimes people don't even realize that they're doing bad things. Ethics truly is doing the right thing even when it's inconvenient, difficult, or unpopular. And just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. There's some handouts in your materials that you've already closed because you're one of those got to be out the door at 12 o'clock kind of people. But there are some, the list of the canons, I've kind of simplified them for you. There's like a little Reader's Digest version there for you. And I'm not going to go through those materials. You've seen them before because you're experienced clerks. But if you have the opportunity, and I know you will bust those things out as soon as you get home, to review those, I would appreciate you taking a look. Closer to home, anybody know these folks? They used to be municipal judges, but now they're not because they made bad choices. And that, my dear lovelies, is the end. Thank you so much for your attention.
If you could hang on for just a minute, Kathy has some announcements, okay?
Thanks, everybody. Enjoyed being in El Paso. Thanks for your hospitality. You've got evaluation forms and questionnaires in your front pocket. We'd appreciate it if you would fill those out. It helps us improve our programs. And, again, your certificate of attendance, that's a biggie. You want to have that. Testing is going to be in this room. If you're testing, good luck. You'll do well. And Patty will be here to administer the test at 1 o'clock. If you can be here at 12:45, she'll get you signed in and get you ready to go. So testing here at 1 o'clock. Thanks, everybody, and we look forward to seeing you again. And I need to thank Laveda. I kept her working the whole time. Thanks, Laveda, for all your help.
And I know we're short on time, and I won't hold anybody over, but if they have
questions. Tammy will hang around. If you've got questions, she'll be glad to talk to you about that.
I don't want to get between anybody and 12 o'clock.